Hi, welcome to Bath City Church. This is session 4 of our Kickstart course. We hope you enjoy.
Well, good to see you all again tonight. I know that we've had a week's break, and so it's really great for those of you who've remembered and turned up again. And also for those of you who've been away in the most amazing places, and for people who just joined us tonight. Obviously, what we've done over the last 3 weeks is we've set the scene of establishing all of the important things about the gospel, about baptism, and about baptism in the Spirit and the life in the Spirit. For these next three sessions, although there's going to be a bit of a turnaround, for these next three sessions, we're going to look at the whole idea of equipping. And the aim is to help you in your spiritual walk, to come to a stronger place than what you have ever been before. And so this week, in week 4, we're going to be looking at sonship and who I am in Christ. So we're hoping that you get a greater understanding, and it will really empower you for the Christian life. Now, the whole thing about sonship is something that is really a very vital and key in the church here, because sonship is one of the core values of the church. So tonight we're right online with what we're talking about. And there are some things in here that I just want to help us, because I believe it's vital that we get hold deep down inside of us that gives us a kind of God confidence for our lives. And that enables us to walk tall in the midst of everything that life throws at you. Because how many people know life throws some curveballs at you, right? But knowing who you are enables you to walk tall in the midst of all that. So here are some things that I want us to look at to help us to understand some things about ourselves in the Christian walk. And the first thing that I've included in here is the whole thing of that I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And it's a really important message, because it is surprising how few Christians actually really understand and get hold of that. But we are a three-part being. We are spirit. God created us spirit. He is spirit, and he created us like him. And so we are spirit. That's the real us. That's the real person. And he gave us a soul, which is our mind and our will and our emotions, and we live in a physical body. And you can see that explained in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's important that we get hold of that. And then the second important thing for us to really grasp hold of is in the book of John, chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who's this ruler of the synagogue who comes to him at night, and he's wanting to find out some things about Jesus. And Jesus says to him, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we've already covered that. But there's an interesting thing in this, that Jesus in verse 5 says to him, assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the fact that we're born of water means that we're physical people. We were born of water out of our mother's womb. But also we have to be born of the Spirit. And he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So that says to me that when you made that decision to ask Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior, that it was your spirit, the real you, that changed and got born again and got recreated. What didn't get changed was your soulish realm, your mind. And the reason why I say this about understanding who we are, you can see this in Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2, where it talks about the presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice and then allowing our minds to be renewed. And I think it's important because sometimes you get born again and you think, great, it's wonderful, everything's going to be rosy in the garden. And then a few weeks later down the line and you're feeling miserable and you've missed it, you've sinned, you've done something that you didn't want to do, and you're thinking, how on earth can I manage? Come on in, guys. That's all right. You know, we say, you know, am I really born again, or did I really make a decision or not? Because you're feeling dreadful, and that's because it's your spirit was born again, the real you, and it's this mind that the devil tries to work on. So by understanding that you yourself are born again, you're in the right place with God, but you have to work on some things, then that can bring real peace into your situation, because it helps you realize and know and be confident in who you are. So that's why I've included it in that. And then in Romans 8 verse 1, it says that we can now walk in the Spirit. It says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And then it says something, one of my favorite verses, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That means we are walking free. We're free. Our spirit is free. It's alive. We've been made free. And that's just something to get hold of and see. As a result of that decision that I made, I'm walking free in the Spirit. And then the second thing going on from there is to grab hold of is that sonship belongs to me. And that's the whole thing that we've said, that sonship, the idea of sonship is something that is really important for us as a church, that it's a core value of the church, that we are sons and daughters. We were far off, we were estranged, but now we've been made sons and daughters. In fact, John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So, do you believe in his name? Yeah. See, that means you've been received by him. And if you've been received by him, then you're a child of God. That's who you are. You are a child of God. You're one of his kids. And it means so much. And it's so important that we get hold of that. And then the second thing about this, in Romans chapter 8, and I'll just turn here because it's just these two key things for us to get hold of. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 14 to 16. It says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." So you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a son of God or a daughter of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." You know, that's an awesome thing, that we have been adopted into the family. You know, when someone is adopted, they take all of the benefits of that family that they're adopted into. We have been adopted into God's family. There can't be any higher place to be adopted into than God's family. That means that we get all of the benefits that God has to offer. Now, that's good news. For me, that's shouting news. You know, that's awesome. To think that I'm in God's family, and therefore I have everything that God gives as a benefit in his family. It's an awesome thing. And now this is what I want you to get. We have to really get it into our hearts. And that makes me, Galatians 4 says, that makes me an heir of God. That means an heir is someone who will eventually receive it all. Everything that is left to someone, you know, when there is a will made out and you're an heir, then when that person dies, you will inherit everything that that person had. Well, when Jesus died and we accepted him into our hearts, we received as an inheritance everything that Christ had won. So we are an heir. And Ephesians, and I'll look at Ephesians again in a minute, says this important thing, that I am chosen and I am accepted. God chose you. He wants you. He loves you. He accepts you. And the key thing in all of this, in terms of sonship, on knowing who we are, knowing that we are a spirit, knowing that our spirit's been born again, knowing that we are sons and daughters, knowing that we're chosen, knowing that we are accepted, is we have to believe it. You know, sometimes it's easy to say, but not so easy to do. And not so easy to believe, but my heart this evening is that you really just catch hold of that revelation deep down on the inside, that you let it sink in and sink in and sink in until that you know that you know that you know, and no one can ever shift you from that knowing, that that's who you are. And that's why I said right at the beginning, it's important, because life will try and chuck some stuff at you, but that doesn't make any difference. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are chosen. You are accepted in the beloved. And that's really important for us to catch hold of. And that means that we can leave the past behind. Philippians chapter 3 says this, I don't think I've attained to everything, but this one thing I do, I leave the past behind and I press on towards the mark to the high call of God. God's got a high call on your life, and you can leave the past behind and you can move forward into the great things that God has for you. And we catch hold of that. Now, the third thing here that I want us to look at is the fact that we have been made righteous. Now, righteous sounds like a very religious term, doesn't it? And it's not one, it's a very spiritual term, and it's not one that is easy to grab hold of. But basically it means that we are put into right standing with God. I once learned a phrase of what righteousness meant, which if I can still remember it, I will do it. It means it's the ability and right to stand in the presence of an almighty God as if sin had never touched you or existed in you. Just think about that. That's what righteousness is. And that is who you are. Sorry? Say again. It's the ability and right to stand in the presence of an almighty God as if sin had never touched you or existed in you. That is how much we're put into right standing with God. But it's not as a result of anything that we have done. In the Old Testament, it says, all our own righteousness is like filthy rags. But this particular scripture here, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it's another of my favourite scriptures. I've got too many favourite scriptures sometimes. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Let me just read it out to you. And it says this. For he made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's easy to think of it this way. Did we have any righteousness before we got born again? No. Did Jesus have any sin before he went to the cross? No. So it's, you remember what I said in the first session about that divine exchange? So Jesus took our sin so that we could receive his righteousness. Because if anybody's in right standing with God the Father, it's Jesus himself, isn't it? And that's the place he put us in. It's not my righteousness, but his. And when we get born again, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. We become in right standing. That's who you are. You're righteous. Now, that's nothing to do with how you feel. Because, you know, if you're having a bad day, that's probably about the last thing that you feel. For somebody to say, oh, I'm righteous now. You're not feeling like that at all. But you are. It's got nothing to do with how you feel because it's something that's taken place in your spirit, which is not where your emotions are seated. Amen. Hallelujah. And what that does, as Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, it gives us a right of access to the Father. Only someone who's in right standing with God can come before the throne to the Father. But Hebrews 10 says, because we have been made right, we have access into the throne room. That access into the throne room means that we can get our prayers answered. We can go boldly before the throne and talk to God and tell him how we're feeling and what's going on the inside of us. And he's there to answer. In fact, somebody once said this, that the throne room of God was created just for us to come before him. An awesome thing. And then Ephesians 2 then tells us where we really are in our spirit, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, you think about that and think, no, hang on a sec. I'm sat in the coffee shop tonight, in a chair. That's where physically you are. But in actual fact, in the realm of the spirit, you are sat with Christ. And we have to grab hold of that. I'm sat with Christ in heavenly places. Just think of how that changes your thinking. That's who you are. That's where you are. In the realm of the Spirit. And then 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, that makes me a king and a priest. I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priest. Now in the Old Testament, in the past, a priest was someone who's specially chosen out. And not everybody was a priest. Not everyone was a king. But now, as a result of coming into Christ, we are a king and a priest. So we are royal and we also serve as priests. That's an awesome thing to think of. And that's why I put those three R's, you know, Dan likes R's. Dan likes acrostics, doesn't he? That's why I put that in. And it's just understanding that you have been reconciled to God, therefore you are righteous, and that makes you relaxed. Are you in that place? You know, we've all got to get into that place, because there's always going to be times when we don't feel relaxed. We don't feel good about ourselves. We don't feel good about our situations. But everything that we have done as we made Jesus the Lord of our lives has placed us into that position with him. And so we just got to grab hold of it. We've got to keep hold of it so that we can walk tall. So reconciled, righteous, and relaxed. And then fourthly here, who I am in Christ. Now what you've got tonight, I got hold of these a long, long time ago. It's like a set of scriptures that say who I am in Christ. And it says, I am this, I am that, I am the other, I have this and I have that. How many of you were here on Sunday when Angela Hughes was here? And she talked about speaking out the word over yourself. You know, in order to get this right on the inside of you, those are not bad things to begin to declare over yourself and to speak to yourself over and prophesy to yourself. Because the more you do that, the more you realize what the difference is that Jesus has made in your life. That it's such an important, vital thing. And you get that on the inside of you, who I am. And in order to help us with that, there's two things that I've included here. One is 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, in Christ I am a new creation. What does that a new creation mean? It means that we are a new species of being that have never existed before. You know, on the earth there are two species of being. There's human beings, and then there's Christian beings. You're a different species. I know that's tough to get hold of, isn't it? Because we just feel like normal. But actually, you are a new creation. Until Jesus died and the first people got born again, there was not a new creation that was alive to God because of what had happened in the Garden of Eden. But now you are a new creation. And Ephesians chapter 1 to chapter 3 has a host of things. And I'd just encourage you to read it. Read Ephesians 1 to 3 and just look at all the things that it talks about you in Christ in there. And I've just put a few down so that you can see them. That you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. That you're chosen. That you're redeemed. That you have an inheritance. That you've been brought near to him. And there are so many more in there as you grab hold of the fact that I am in Christ. I'm in Christ. And Christ is in me. And that makes such a total difference in my life. And as we get hold of it, as we grab hold of it, then it enables us to walk with confidence. Not self-confidence, not our own confidence, but with God confidence. Because we're confident of who God is in us. And it enables us to get through every day. And it enables us to live in victory. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Now, the final thing that I thought that it was would be helpful just to say tonight is that we are also a disciple. You know, that everything else that we've looked at about who we are is all really wonderful, great stuff. You know, Jesus has done so much in me. This is who I am. I'm in right standing. I'm righteous. I'm so changed. I'll never be the same again. And that's true. But at the same time, as we become children of God, we become disciples. Now, the whole thing of being a disciple is, it's one who is following Jesus. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus went out and called his disciples, and they went and they left everything and they went to follow him. Now, as well as all the good stuff, there's also the commitment stuff. There's also the sense of, if we are in Christ as a disciple, we are also following Jesus and we are committed to him. We are choosing, as a result of everything that Jesus has done in us, we're choosing to follow him. And as we follow him, that means a radical change in our thinking, in our being, in our acting. And as a disciple, as we follow him, we just want to be where he is. We want to be where the people of God are, which is why we gather together on a Sunday. This is why we worship. This is why we worship tonight, because we celebrate being together with God's family, because we're all disciples. We're following him. We're following his teaching. We're hopefully beginning to produce fruit in our lives. You know, the word says that we shall be known by our fruit. And Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and all of the other things. And so as we get hold of that, we should be beginning to produce fruit in our life, change in our life from how we were before to how we are in Christ. And so we therefore demonstrate love towards each other. And we study and we understand the Word of God. You know, before I got born again, I did read the Bible, but it didn't make much sense to me. And I began to realize that once I got born again, the reason why it hadn't made sense before is, although it's a nice book, which has got lots of stories in it and everything else, it's actually a spiritual book. And so you understand it in the spirit. And as soon as my spirit was alive to God, I began to understand this, which I hadn't done before. And the more that we study the Word, the more that we understand about Jesus, the more that we understand the heart of God for us, and the more we begin to grow. And that's really important. And then a few years after that, Julie and I got hold of some amazing revelation of the Word of God, and we started reading through our Bible again. And I remember at one point Julie saying, "I never knew that was in there." But it was in there. It had always been in there. We'd just never seen it like that before. And that's the fun part, I think, of getting into the Word and studying the Word and seeing something that's never been there before, you've never seen before. Or you may even have seen it before and you may even have read it before, but all of a sudden it comes to life for you. And that's the amazing thing about the Word of God. When you read it, 1 year, it will say this to you. When you read it in 5 years' time, it'll probably say something else to you, completely different. But that's because the Word of God is alive and it's powerful and it's there just for you. So that's an important thing for us to get hold of. And also it means that when we pray, we will get answers to our prayer. Again, because as I said to you, because we can boldly approach the throne of God. And so when we pray, we can believe and see those prayers answered because we're a disciple and we're a follower of Jesus. That's an awesome thing.
Thank you for listening to this Bath City Church podcast. We trust it has been a blessing to you. For more information about us, do visit www.bathcitychurch.org.uk.